Glad to see you. Hope you get a blessing today. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter number 29. It's our privilege and pleasure to have our daughter Grace with us. We are appreciative of Berean Bible Baptist Church's prayers while Grace with her pregnancy, and high-risk pregnancy, I guess you could say, and then our little grandson, second grandson, born kind of premature, right, and stuff. So things that go on there. Christensen's had that happen. But listen. Listen, let me tell you one thing that is a fact. This isn't preaching, this is a fact. The prayers of the Berean Bible Baptist Church get answered. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. All right. I will just say this on the outset of this message. I wrestled, I don't want to, that sounds prideful, but I contemplated this message and wrestled with the Lord about this message. So I would have rather preached, you know, something like in 2 Samuel that said, consider how great things the Lord hath done for you, or, you know, something on a positive note. But this is what God wants me to preach, and so I hope that you're edified by it. And this morning I'm going to preach to you about, the title of the message is Pride. And if you look at Proverbs chapter number 29, it's good to see Matt's grandma and grandpa with us, Mr. and Mrs. Heath. Thank you for coming. I always appreciate your presence with us. And look at Proverbs chapter number 29, just one verse. I'll have some more verses for you. But Proverbs chapter number 29 and verse number 23. The Bible says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A man's pride shall bring him low. Now, if you take that P off of that word pride, what word do you get? Pride will take you for a ride. It will take you for a ride. So that's what we're going to try to talk about today. And you want to know something, as Ricky mentioned to me when he asked me the title of this message, he said to me, well, isn't that strange? He said, this is Pride Month across the face of our nation. And pride isn't something that we should rejoice in. What's going on across the face of our nation with the perversion, as we spoke about in Sunday school, is heinous. It hurts people. It makes God sick. And Bible-believing Christians and Christians should find the spirit of the age and go against it at all costs. They say that if you tell a man a lie long enough, he'll believe it. We're not going to believe it. You need to get right or get left. That's all there is to it. Those folks need to be saved. They got a soul. But if they're not going to hear truth, then they're going to wind up in a lake of fire. But nonetheless, so... So the definition of pride is this, inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, in beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty affairs. Pride will distance a person. Pride can bring reserve to a person, and oftentimes in contempt of others. I guess is what I think about pride. Pride is a power or an emotion that is put in action when you're sometimes hurt or you're offended. And then this power is then manifested by your actions. Again, a great example of that is Cain and Abel. Abel, as I mentioned in Sunday school, Abel did it right. Abel did it how he knew that it should have been done, with its sacrifices that he learned from mom and dad, that Cain learned from mom and dad. And there was another influence that stepped in there in Cain's life and captured Cain, captured his mind and captured his thought. And Cain said, no, I'm not going to offer a spotless lamb. I'm going to offer up fruits and vegetables from my own garden. And God didn't accept Cain's offering. And God did accept Abel's offering. And Cain got mad at Abel and killed Abel. And there was a power that was working inside of Cain. Pride is a power that's on the inside of our being. And it's there all the time. And there needs to be a check put on it. Pride is very destructive. Pride goeth before destruction, the Bible says, and we'll hear of that, and a haughty spirit before a fall. But a man's pride shall bring him low. It says in a man said one time, pride is such a choking weed that nothing can prosper next to it. Pride is such a choking weed that nothing can prosper next to it. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. With the lowly is wisdom. A man's pride shall bring him low. One time there was a daddy bullfrog and a son bullfrog, and the son bullfrog had went over to the his friend bullfrogs, and his friend bullfrog's dad said to the one bullfrog, said, man, look at how big I can ribbit. And he did his big ribbiter out and went, ribbit. And the son was like, wow. He looked at his friend. He's like, wow, your dad can really do it. I don't think my dad can do it that loud. He said, can I hear that again? And he said, and then the friend of the dad went, ribbit. And that big ribbiter came out, you know, like this. He's like, wow. So the boy goes home to his dad. And he says, dad, I was over at my friend Bullfrog's house. And his dad went, ribbit. And the dad went, well, I can do that. And he put out his ribbiter and he went, see how big mine is? Ribbit. And the son was, no. No, his was much bigger. And his daddy put it out again. Robert. And he said, no, it was much bigger. And he went, well, was it this big? His ribbiter exploded. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Let me read you a short little story here by way of illustration. There's a transcript of a radio conversation between a U.S. naval ships and the Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland in October 1995. And the transcript went like this. The Americans, with their fleet, or their ships, their naval ships, said to the Canadians, divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. The Canadians responded and said this, recommended you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. The Americans said, this is a captain of the U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. The Canadians, no, I say again, you divert your course. Imagine that. Then the American said, this is the USS Aircraft Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous other support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. The Canadians replied back, this is a lighthouse. It's your call. A man's pride will bring him low. Proverbs 14, verse 3 says, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but in the lips of the wise shall preserve them. A music orchestra was going on one time. A pretty famous orchestra was going on. And an admirer of the music and orchestra asked a very well-known and celebrated orchestra conductor, what was the hardest, in his opinion, he's leading the brass and the drums and the percussions and all that, and he's leading the strings and this. It's a very well-renowned orchestra and very well-renowned orchestra leader and all that it takes to get the instruments in the right place and to make it sound so good. And a fellow came up to him that really loved the orchestra and was knowledgeable of it and said, what is the hardest instrument to play? And the celebrated and well-renowned orchestra leader said, the hardest instrument that is to play is the second fiddle. Or the second chair. I can always get plenty of first chairs or first violinists, but to find the one that is willing to play second chair and second violinist with as much enthusiasm as if they were in the first chair, that's a problem. The conductor went on to say, yet if no one plays the second chair or the second violin or the second fiddle or the second French horn or the second flute, we won't have any harmony in our orchestra. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, as an encouragement goes, it's okay to be proud of yourself for a job well done. I'm not unbalanced in this situation. If you've worked hard, and you've done a good thing, and you've achieved a lot, there's nothing wrong with being proud of your success. The Bible backs that up by saying this, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. So it's okay to be proud that way. But it's the problem where that pride carries you over. Where those successes carry you over. To the place, and when that job is done well, and then you turn around and you're able to say, well, thank God, glory to God, He's the one that gave me, you know, the strength and the ability and the wisdom and the health to do all those things. That's good. That's the right mindset. That's the right heart. Without God, He'd still be God and we'd be nothing. So it's all because of God. And that reverence and that praise needs to go back to Him. But it's okay to receive accolades or praise or to give praise for a job well done. Hey, you want to encourage someone? Maybe they've fallen down and skinned their knee, or maybe they have done a great job, or maybe they haven't done a great job. It doesn't cost you very much to get your eyes off of you and put your eyes on someone else and to say, hey, you did a good job there. Amen. You want to encourage these kids? Beat them down. You want to encourage these kids? Lift them up. Don't beat them down. Lift them up. Give them an accolade. Hey, yeah, you did a great job. Okay, well, praise the Lord, you made the effort. You made a mess out of that, but you made an effort. And so let's start from the mess and work up. Amen? The Lord said, God the Father said about His Son, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But to be proud of your job, your house, your car, your clothing, your finances, your abilities, your looks, your brains, your achievements, and then to look down on others or to glory in the accolades or praise of others as if you deserve them, God hates it. God hates it. I love our military, don't get me wrong, but all that is a spirit of man running that thing. I know God's worked in it in some providence. The military right now, you tell me if those barracks aren't a absolute drunken mess. They are. My boys in the Marines right now, don't tell me that's a... And then you're going to let women go to combat with men? And then you're going to let trans in there too? Okay. God hates it. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. God hates that stuff. Pride, built Ford tough. Pride, union pride. All this stuff. In one night, God could break the grain of our country and we'd have a dust bowl. He's done it in the past. I love the United States of America. I love New Jerusalem more than I love the United States of America. Pride. Children of Israel got proud back there. And after God blessed their socks off and they forgot their God. And they wound up worshiping abominations and desolations. And they forgot their God. And God had to whip their fanny. I wonder where we're at today with our current administration. A man said one time, there's nothing that human pride resents so much as to be rebuked. Amen. Guy said, I ain't got pride, I just got ego. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. Open rebuke is better than secret love. As was mentioned outside here, when God brings repentance to you and causes you to repent, that's a gift from God. Yes. That's the easiest way to get a spanking from God. Yes. is to have him come in and just convict the fire out of your soul. He just puts his finger right on your wall and he just says, right there, that needs to be taken care of. And you go, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I knew it. But thank you for, hey, listen, thank you for stepping into my life before I went on a ride with pride.
Amen.
The word pride has five letters in it, which equals the number five, which is death. The middle letter is I, which is an unholy trinity. It's me, myself, and I. I think there's a silly old song out there that says, one is the loneliest number that you'll ever see. You know, it's funny, oftentimes, you know, with lions, what they'll do, lions and families, they'll get themselves together and they'll form this pack. And they'll form something that's called a pride. You know what it is? You know what you find in elementary schools? You know what you find in high schools? You know what you find in colleges? You know what you find in our politics? A clique. You know what you find in churches? A clique. It's a pride. And then the one brother that can't make it into the clique is left by himself. And you know who he's left with? He's left with Satan. He's left with himself. And he's out there hurting. All because you got offended. All because you got rebuked. All because you didn't want to do what God told you to do. You formed your little religious pride. And the brother that's out there hurting? To hell with him. I'll get mine. That ain't right. That's of the devil. That's of the devil. It happens in businesses. It happens in churches. And it ought not so to be. You have a spiritual bone in your body. You ought to be looking out for that one that's on the outside. You ought to be looking out for that one that's hurting. You ought to be looking out for that one that financially might be doing so well. You ought to be looking out for someone else than yourself.
Amen.
Man. That helps you, what should we say, turn the pride factor around. You got yours. Okay, if that's the case, then go give somebody some of yours. That's what Jesus Christ did. Look, you think about Joseph. Joseph at a young age, he was about his father's business. Yeah, he ran his mouth a little bit. I get that. We all get that. I enjoyed pastors teaching on that and all this stuff about Joseph. Yeah, Joseph, he ran his mouth. He was excited about the vision that he got. He had some zeal. He had some vision. He knew something that was going on. Yeah, he ran his mouth a little bit. I get that. But boy, his brothers didn't like that too much. And man, they sold him out. They kicked him out. The Bible says about Jesus Christ that he went outside the gate. He was crucified outside of the gate. They kicked him out. You know, it said that John Wayne, the Duke, you know, Marion, his name wasn't even John. His name, he had a masculine name. I hope he was saved. I truly do. But if we can kick the stars just for a second, that's okay. He had a feminine name by the name of Marion. And of all things, he was born down in Iowa. I'm from Iowa. Marion Robert Morrison, born in Wintrust, Iowa, wherever in the blazes that is. He got cancer. The Duke. He got cancer. And then he got treatment for it. And then he came out very boldly and proudly and said, I've whipped the big C. And he died in 1979. When the Titanic was built, you guys know the illustration about that. One of the architects said about the Titanic, said, even God himself could not sink this vessel. Just a little bit of ice. Just a little bit of nothing to break the grain in the hull of that big old boat. And unfortunately, many souls perished. So, very briefly here, I'd like to, how about a short test, a litmus test, to see if you're ensnared with the spirit of pride this morning. Number one, how about the pride of position? Your position. Let me tell you something, it comes natural. You're the greatest nation upon the face of the earth. I mean, it just comes natural. Your position is a place of pride. America is only is because of what it is, because of this book and its followers. That's all there is to it. Any nation that has ever kicked this book out of its countries, any nation that's ever kicked the writers of this book out of their countries, ask New York when the Jews were down in New York, and then, oh, what was that state up there? Providence. We're allowing people to come into it. And they said, freedom of religion up here, in 17, whatever it was, in the founding of our country. Providence, Rhode Island and all that, when the Jews were being persecuted down in New York. And then Providence, Rhode Island opened up. And because of this book, and you can worship God according to freedom of conscience, because of this book, they said, anybody can come up here. And them Jews went up there, and Providence started to prosper. And then New York said, whoa, 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 whoa. It's affecting our pocketbook. Man, yeah, come on back. I think there's possibly more Jews down in New York. I don't know. There's millions of Jews in New York City. The pride of position. Does the position you have in your life cause you to be proud or haughty? Position at work. Position in your home. Position in your ministry. Position amongst your family and friends. Husbands, how about pride with your wife? Parents, how about pride with your kids? You kids, how about there out there on the soccer field? Just as much as God watches what's going on in here, God watches what's going on out there also.
Amen.
You hear me? Did you hear me? Are you distracted? That stuff, and we got neighbors around here that are listening to all that. Pride. Pride will lead to disfused relationships. It'll lead to anger, and ultimately it'll lead to physical contact, and you don't want that. Pride of position. Husbands with wives. I'm not going to tell you. I had this illustrated happen last night. And I had to humble myself. In Isaiah chapter 14, Lucifer had a great position, but wasn't satisfied. And pride filled his heart. And he said five times, I. Was that five? I don't know. Maybe. I will ascend. I. That's the middle word of pride. He had pride in his position. He wasn't satisfied with it. A man said, nothing is so hard to do gracefully than to get down off of your high horse. Yeah. Pride, they say, is to character like the attic to the house. It's the highest part and usually the most empty. Pride of position. Now, you want to know what our leader did in John chapter number 13? Let alone did he put his glories aside. The Lord Jesus Christ laid aside his glories and laid aside his closeness with his Father as far as being in fellowship with him. And he was manifest in the flesh. And he led around a whole bunch of, he led around 12 disciples and others that followed him. And in John chapter 13, as far as the pride of position goes, here comes a baby. Hey, Sister Christian. I thought that was my grandson. That's the only reason why I mentioned that. I apologize. You know, just on alert, you know. But as far as pride of position goes, there goes the service. Amen. But anyway, as pride of position goes, the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 13, he was telling them, say, listen, I'm going to go be crucified. And there's something that I have to do before I go. And he girded himself with a towel. He got himself some water. And as far as pride as position goes to lead us and what our mindset should be in and amongst us, they were the apostles and disciples, and kind of, sort of, out into the world when it comes to pride of position, is that he got down and he washed his disciples' feet. He washed their feet. And his position was... he was lower in position than them all, but higher in esteem and morale than any of them in that room.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was higher in esteem, we like to be esteemed, and higher in morale, which is 85% of the battle. He was lower than them all, but he was higher in them all because of the humility of his position.
Amen.
And he led with that. And he led straight to a cross. Jesus Christ left his position of healer, teacher, preacher, leader, and washed his disciples' feet. He was lower in position than them all, but higher, as I mentioned, in esteem and morale than any. He said, "You call me Master and Lord, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Now, we don't do that in this church. It's not one of the ordinances like, you know, communion or believer's baptism. But still, in spirit and in thought, okay, we ought to be low. We ought to wash one another's feet. Okay? So how are you doing with the pride of your position? How about the pride of popularities? We are immersed in, I got to be popular, you got to be accepted. I mean, that's all it is. Sports, Hollywood, all this stuff, and the people that's put before us as Christians, pride of popularities. As I've mentioned before, listen, would you agree with me in the public school or in colleges, I mentioned before, this happens all the time? Man, if you're not popular, and if you want to fit into the clique, and they won't let you in, oh, hey, listen, now you've got Facebook. Now you've got Twitter. Now you've got kids, they're not accepted in school, and they go home to try to get away from it, and they're not accepted online, and then all of a sudden it's Katie Barr that... Tell me if that hasn't happened. Makes me wonder, you know, who the author of being popular is, kind of, sort of. Cliques of the popular people or jocks or rich folks, I went through it. I did in my high school life as a saved person, unfortunately, trying to be transparent, I did the things it took to be popular and accepted. Huh. Boy, it ain't worth it. All it does is it just breeds scars. It breeds death. It breeds loneliness. It breeds tears, and you're living a lie. And as a saved person, I'll have to give an account for that at the judgment seat of Christ that represents wood, hay, and stubble. And I wonder if it made my Savior cry. Pride of popularities. They do or don't accept you based on your popularity standards. This happens in churches. It does happen in churches. Listen, I'll give you a verse about that, but tell me if there aren't cliques in churches. And then let me ask you, and I'm going to give you the answer. What's the answer to the cliques of those that are highly esteemed in the church just because they're a clique? What's God's answer for that? Solomon became very popular. In 1 Kings chapter number 11, verse 4, the Bible says, "It came to pass when Solomon was old that he started worshiping other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Yeah, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Solomon became very popular with his riches and his wisdom and his money and all this stuff. Very popular. And you know what it led Solomon to do? It says Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. God can do little with those who love their lives. God can. There's a quote here that says, "God can do little with those who love their lives and or their reputations." Pride of popularities. And that, you know what? That's unfortunate amongst preachers. It's something you have to guard against, because all of a sudden God starts using you out in small groups in your state, and then small groups, you go, pastors go to other churches, and that's a wonderful thing. And then people are blessed by your ministry and blessed by your effort and blessed by your preaching and your teaching and all that stuff. And you kind of sort of become kind of like famous just a little bit, and you become popular, and then you become a legend in your own mind. You got to guard against that thing. I've mentioned before, the fourth temptation of Jesus Christ was, the Bible says about him, that his fame was spread abroad. Popular. The answer to that thing, look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 22, just real quickly. And see where this fits in our church. The pride of popularity. See how God looks at this thing. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 22. And maybe you'll get encouragement. 1 Corinthians 12:22, verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, they're not popular. They're not accepted. They're on the outskirts. Give them to me, man. I love the underdog. I love the underdog. Give them to me, because that's how God can get glory and you can get around his power. Amen? Yes, sir. Ask David with them five stones. He took that big giant down. Those, to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think be less honorable. Pride of popularity. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor. That's how God thinks about it. To that part which lacked. That there should be no schism, I think it went on to say. Pride of popularities. God sends no one away empty, but they who are full of themselves. I think that's kind of a rough quote, but I think it's true. You know, in John chapter 6, verse 15, as far as popularity goes in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, when Jesus perceived that they were going to come and take him by force and make him a king, that's what he was here for. He was the king. Amen. They were going to come make him the king. That's the right thing. Let's get it going. Take me on. Put me on the throne. I got it. What did Jesus Christ do? As far as his popularity aspect of where his mind was at, he departed again into a high mountain by himself alone. So you have pride of position, pride of popularities. Come on, Brother Jim, get back to a joke. Let's lighten it up just a little bit. Hey, how about pride of possessions? Now you're starting to scratch the itch just a little. You're going to talk about my possessions? Yeah, I'm going to talk about it. Listen, the Bible says that it's evident that we came into this world with nothing and we're going to leave with nothing. Amen. Pride of possessions. Oh, help me out here. Can I just take my tie off and sit down and have a cup of tea with you just for a second? I have a lot of possessions. You come to my house. Okay, I do. I have a lot of possessions. My wife calls me a hoarder. I'm not a hoarder, but I'm kind of a hoarder. Okay? Transparent again, you know? I find a good pair of shoes, man, and I'm sorry. I go to the Goodwills and Salvation Army. I like to be part of the Army of the Salvation. I like that stuff. I tried to give a pair of Lariats away to them the other day. I got a good job on them. I got a great price on them. We'll bring them. You kids can have them. They don't fit me, my wife, or Nathan. But my possessions don't have me. See, I make them serve me. I don't serve them. That's the deal with possessions. Pride of possessions, meaning your possessions. He who dies with the most toys wins. No, he who dies with the most toys goes away with the most headaches. The most credit card bills. The most, you know what those things are about? It's fun. The Bible, you can have fun. Have as much fun as you want. Go out and enjoy it and everything. But you cannot replace God for your possessions. Your possessions will never satisfy. Those new possessions that you bought have rusted away and you've had to buy new. You've had to buy new. You've had to buy new. God never rusts away. His word never rusts away. It's fresh. It's new every day. So you can't replace your life and your walk with God and the Word of God with possessions and the pride of possessions. Look at me. Look at all my possessions. Ah, Elon Musk. Ah, all these rich folks. You know, all the richest people in the world, if they're not saved, are poor as Job's turkey.
Amen.
What are you going to do? Live for 90 years temporally and then go burn forever? You're a poor jackrabbit. Elon Musk needs to be saved. Who's that other fella? Who's the founder of Facebook? Yeah, Bill Gates needs to be saved too. You tell him that Pastor Grissom said so, Berean Bible Baptist Church. Or Brother Butler, we'll take you. You need to be saved, Bill Gates. Y'all folks. Pride of possessions. And they're going to Mars. And hey, that's an awesome feat. You're able to land them rockets and all that stuff and reuse that stuff. Elon Musk, you know, that's an awesome feat. Oh, what's that going to do for eternity, though? What's that going to do for your soul? That stuff's all going to burn up. Pride of possessions, meaning your possessions or things or toys that produce a sense of a civic or public status. To the place where you look down your nose to those that don't have the stature of your possession. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 4, verse number 30. Look at this great Babylon that I've built. I've built it with my power. I've got the reference here. Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the knowledge of my majesty? Yeah, in 2 days he was driven out because of his pride by God. He was driven out. He had the great Babylon. It was a beautiful place. It was a wonderful place. And he was driven out and to eat grass like an ox. And he grew claws like birds' claws and feathers of a bird. He was humbled. He got proud of his possessions. In Luke chapter number 2, there's a rich man that fared sumptuously, the Bible says. He was able to, his grain and all the things and the harvest that he had, he'd store it in his barn and he'd sell it. And he became very prosperous. And he was able to buy much possessions and to the place where God was blessing him so much. And he was putting such a effort in. And there's nothing wrong with hard work. There's nothing wrong with earning money. There's nothing wrong with retiring and all that stuff. And enjoying it. I'm not saying that, but as I've mentioned, the thing that's wrong with it, that is, if you, if that's your God, that God is going to fail you. You can't put the true and living God in its place. And that's what this rich man did. He tore down that barn that had all his grains in it, had all his stuff in it. He built bigger barns and he said, okay, now I'm ready to go. I've got all my possessions. Eat, drink, and be merry, and it's all good. And you know what God said about that? And his pride of possessions? He said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Pride of possessions. Jesus said in that same chapter, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And then he went on to say about that rich fool, that fellow that just had temporal wealth, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself on earth, but is not rich toward God. You know what you get to take from this earth and have for all eternity? Things that you send over the line into eternity. That's why I said when I first came here to Brigham Bible Baptist Church, your pastor or those that are leading you, they are eternal stockbrokers. They're leading you to the place where you can make your sacrifices in life, and so that you can send things, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, nor thieves break through or steal. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where Uncle Sam comes and takes it all away, or someone else comes in and takes it all away. The only thing that you get to take from this place is what you send ahead. Here's Jesus Christ's mindset about the pride of possessions. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was very rich. Yet for your sakes, Nathan, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. That was Jesus Christ's mindset about the pride of possessions. He was able to give it all up, and in doing so, he got it all back. Yeah. And then lastly, how about the pride of principles? We have the pride of position, the pride of popularities, the pride of possessions, and then lastly, the pride of principles. You say, what's that? In your Christian life, or in your business life, or wherever in life, we have this little meter where if you do the things I do, I'm going to accept you because those are my principles. If you don't do the things I do, now listen, please don't get me wrong here. You and I need to be exhorted to continue in the fight for Christianity. Amen. And you're going to be challenged to do some things that someone else is doing because you're supposed to be doing them. I'm not talking about that, okay? Okay, let me just say this. Well, Brother Butler hands out tracts and street preaches and tries to win souls, blah, 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 and then he tells me to do that, and so he's being pride with his principles. No. I'm going to try to lead you by example as well as Pastor Grissom. Amen. And any shepherd that's worth his salt is going to try to lead you by example. Okay, is that transparent enough? No, nothing up my sleeves, I promise. I don't even have a watch on. I can't tell time anyway. I need a digital one or my phone. So I'm not talking about that. But it's the things you do or don't do on a daily basis in your life that give you joy and satisfaction and peace with God. Yet when you see others that don't do your principles, a sneered lip or a disgust rises up in your heart. You know what that is? That's the pride of principles. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. If you're able to do those things and God's carried you that way, praise the Lord. But if your brother or sister ain't doing them, hey, listen. And if they're missing out on a blessing, instead of hitting them over the head with a stick, how's about coming alongside of them and say, look, yo, this has helped me out a lot. It was a fight for me to do it, but now I've gotten over the hump, and now I've got some consistency, and now I'm able to do it. Man, I'm blessed beyond all measure. Maybe you would like to try it. There were two people that went to church one day in Luke chapter number 18. It was a Pharisee and a publican. And the Pharisee, he knew his Bible well. He had the cloak. He was consistent in church. I mean, I'm not going to defame the thing, but he carried his Torah well. He had one in his back pocket and things of that nature. And he went to church, and the publican went to church. And the Pharisee's principles goes like this in Luke chapter number 18. It says about the Pharisee, they're in church, the Pharisee's here, and there's this guy down there, and he's a publican, he's just dirty as all get out. I mean, I don't even know, it's maybe a street urchin or who knows, but he's in temple and he knows that's the right place to be and he doesn't know what to do, but he's down there mumbling something. And the Pharisee just walks in and he's like, that look, right? Just that quiet, I'm going to pass you by, brother, because I can. I could care less about you, man. I ain't going to say hello. I ain't going to say how you doing. I ain't going to say, did your wife burn the meal last night? I ain't going to say nothing to you. I'm just going to walk right by you. All the time Jesus Christ is standing in that brother over there and might need a word of encouragement or might need a little bit of help or might just need a little bit of talking to, hey, how's it going? Nah. It's that pride of principle. It's that professionalism. It's that, don't you know how much I got? Don't you know how far down the road I've been? I mean, look at me. I could go on in accolades. Graduated from Pensacola Bible Institute. Praise the Lord. Associate pastor in Long Island, New York for 10 years. Praise the Lord. Had hands laid on by this preacher and that famous preacher and that famous preacher. Praise the Lord. Allowed to be part of this ministry. Praise the Lord. My principles. My professionalism. License to preach. Yeah. Pride of principles. The Pharisee, he went to church often. He went to the temple. The Pharisee prayed often. His principles, the Pharisee's principles was to go to temple. It was to pray. He prayed often. He wasn't an extortioner. The Pharisee's principles was he wasn't unjust. The Pharisee's principles was he wasn't an adulterer. Hey, listen, the Pharisee's principles were he fasted. Fast is almost a four-letter word in Christian circles today. He fasted two times a week. Pretty big stuff. He gave tithes of all his possessions. But the problem with the Pharisee's principles was he looked down his nose on that publican and he said, and I'm not as this publican. The Pharisee in his pride, I'm almost done. The Pharisee in his pride compared himself to that publican. And oftentimes, if you compare yourself to another brother and you may have a little more time in the Christian life, you may have a little more all of the Christian stuff inside of you, and you may be able to pass by him and just think that he's a little bit nobody. And that's pride of your principles. Because that Pharisee compared himself with that publican. That publican compared himself with God. And that publican said, God, be merciful. Humility, no pride, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee compared himself with another man. Our standard to compare ourselves to is not us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you can beat Him in your righteousness and in your principles, then you can tout yourself. I thank God I'm not as this man. But we will never be able to beat the accomplishments and the principles of the sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's who we have to judge ourselves by. That's the standard that we have to go by.
Yes.
The Lord said about this fellow. He said, the publican went to his house justified. Jesus said that he that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Now, I want to close with this. As far as way of illustration goes, if it's funny or not, I just want to put it on there. There was a freshly minted lieutenant that wanted to impress the first private. So he pretended to be on the phone talking to the general. So this lieutenant just got his bars or his wings or whatever lieutenants get, and he was just fresh. He just moved up, just promoted, and so he wanted to impress the first private. So he pretended to be on the phone talking to a general, pretty high brass, right? A lieutenant to a general, officer to officer, right? He's talking to a general. The private walks in and he's on the phone like this, and he says this so that the private would know that the lieutenant is somebody. He says, "Yes, sir." He says, "Yes, sir, General. I'll get on it right now. We will get it done." He hangs up the phone. You know, he looks at the private and he says, "Private, what do you want?" I bet there are some expletives in there. And the private looked at him and said, "Sir, I'm here to hook up the phone line." Now, when it comes to pride, Berean Bible Baptist Church, we got to watch it. Man, you say why? Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Pride of position, pride of popularity, pride of possessions, and pride of principles. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. This is the time when I'm going to ask you to, if you have a problem with pride, you've had some things, we all have problems with it, I've had to deal with it. This is the time while we're in church, all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. I'm not going to ask a question to raise your hand, but I would like to ask you to come to the altar and talk to God about a pride factor. A little bit of pride somewhere. And ask God to forgive you of your pride, and ask God to help you with your pride, and ask God to remove that pride.